It's the last Friday in January 2015, and Southside Broadcasting, in association with Pharmanor Nutritional Supplements Limited, have made their way to Saltburn, and in particular a wonderful part of Saltburn, which is
Book Corner, the independent bookshop, which opened last year in May.
Precisely, and we're speaking there, voice you heard, to the fabulous Jenna, the owner, of course, proprietor of the Book Corner.
Yes, hello Alex, yes.
Now, we spoke obviously in the summer, we talked then about actually hosting a Book of the Month. I'm sort of one of the early arrivals today, but we'll be joined of course by Jenny Finch and Rob Nichols. Many thanks for allowing us to actually host the Book of the Month here. We're focusing on John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men. What do you anticipate sort of is going to happen today? I mean, because it's the first time you've actually seen the Book of the Month team in action, so to speak.
Oh, I don't know. I guess anything could happen. Yes. I'm really looking forward to hearing the discussion because I hadn't read Of Mice and Men until, well, very recently, because I heard that it was going to be discussed and I was interested in getting some context about it. I found it an incredibly sad book, so I'm very interested to hear what the others have got to say about it.
It'll be intriguing, as they will be obviously following through with that. Obviously, the Book of the Month is there. If folk actually have any suggestions for the Book of the Month, you can always contact us at info@southsideradio.com. And Jenna, we were also speaking about ways in which maybe the Book Corner can become more proactive, and also we'll look at sort of ways in which people can actually get hold of the books themselves for the actual podcast.
Yes, that would be brilliant. Yes, I'm always keen to stock books on the basis of recommendation, and I find that actually works really well within the shop. I think in bookshops people like to come in, get personal recommendations, I like to read reviews, and I think that the radio could be another aspect of that, absolutely.
Well, Jenna, as though we're a matter of moments away from obviously starting the Book of the Month, currently, as I say, none of my colleagues have actually arrived as yet. I'm sure they will. So great stuff there. And once again, many thanks for allowing us to actually sort of take part of this, because obviously if we were outside, it'd be a wee bit cold.
Yes, it's been freezing all week. But thank you very much for braving it and coming here today. I appreciate it. Thank you.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard.
And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Offering prestigious accommodation, ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualifying nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs. A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare. To find out more, please telephone 01642 308188 88 or visit our website, rosevillecarecentre.com. Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Hello, little man. Now, I know you're only a baby and maybe a little young to be making a choice that'll affect the rest of your life. But while your dad's out, I think we should have a chat. You see, I'm your mum, and I have to give you my best advice. I'm also a Borough fan. I go to every game that I can. They're my team. Have been all my life since my dad took me to my first game, when I was about your age. There's been ups and downs, good times and bad. But I wouldn't change a minute of my life as a Borough fan. And this is what I need to ask you. Should I take you to the next game? All right, I will. Then you'll be a Borough fan too.
I'm crying.
We'll tell your dad. It's character forming.
Hi,
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334 or visit our website at parkvillecarecentre.com. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
It's the Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting with Jenny Finch and a team of top writing talent.
Thanks to Jenna Warren, proprietor of Book Corner in Saltburn. You're listening to Book of the Month live.
And this month's book is John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men. First published in 1937, Steinbeck's novella was the book that propelled him to international fame. It follows the travels of two itinerant ranch workers, George Milton and Lenny Small, during the Great Depression of the 1930s in rural America. George is the smart one of the pair, small, quick, and a ready talker. It is he who finds the pair work, organises their travels, and tries to keep his companion out of trouble. Lenny is physically huge, a bear of a man, but with the mind of a child. He loves small, furry things, and at the beginning of the book, he picks up a dead mouse, hiding it in his pocket so he can feel its fur. From the very start, it is clear Lenny cannot control his strength, and the pair are running away from their last job following a misunderstanding caused by Lenny's actions. The reader enters the story partway through a doomed journey, and the sense of impending disaster runs through the whole of the book.
Evening of a hot day started with little winds to moving among the leaves. The shade climbed up the hills toward the top. On the sandbanks, the rabbits sat as quietly as little grey sculptured stones. And then, from the direction of the state highway, came the sound of footsteps on crisp sycamore leaves. The rabbits hurried noiselessly for cover. A stilted heron laboured up into the air and pounded downriver. For a moment, the place was lifeless. And then two men emerged from the path and came into the opening by the green pool. They had walked in single file down the path, and even in the open one stayed behind the other. Both were dressed in denim trousers and in denim coats with brass buttons. Both wore black, shapeless hats, and both carried tight blanket rolls slung over their shoulders. The first man was small and quick, dark of face, with restless eyes and sharp, strong features. Every part of him was defined. Small, strong hands, slender arms, a thin and bony nose. Behind him walked his opposite. A huge man, shapeless of face, with large, pale eyes, with wide, sloping shoulders. And he walked heavily, dragging his feet a little, the way a bear drags his paws. His arms did not swing at his sides, but hung loosely. The first man stopped short in the clearing, and the follower nearly ran over him. He took off his hat and wiped the sweatband with his forefinger and snapped the moisture off. His huge companion dropped his blankets and flung himself down and drank from the surface of the green pool, drank with long gulps, snorting into the water like a horse. The small man stepped nervously beside him. "Lenny!" he said sharply. "Lenny, for God's sake, don't drink so much!" Lenny continued to snort into the pool. The small man leaned over and shook him by the shoulder. "Lenny, you're going to be sick like you was last night!" Lenny dipped his whole head under, hat and all, and then he sat up on the bank, and his hat dripped down on his blue coat and ran down his back. "That's good," he said. "You drink some, George. You take a good, big drink." He smiled happily. George unslung his bindle and dropped it gently on the bank. "I ain't sure it's good water," he said. "Looks kind of summy." Lenny dabbled his big paw in the water and wiggled his fingers so the water rose in little splashes. Rings widened across the pool to the other side and came back again. Lenny watched them go. "Look, George! Look what I done!" George knelt beside the pool and drank from his hand with quick scoops. "Tastes all right," he admitted. "Don't really seem to be running, though." "You never ought to drink water when it ain't running, Lenny," he said hopelessly. "You'd drink out of a gutter if you was thirsty." He threw a scoop of water into his face and rubbed it about with his hand under his chin and around the back of his neck. Then he replaced his hat, pushed himself back from the river, drew up his knees, and embraced them. Lenny, who had been watching, imitated George exactly. He pushed himself back, drew up his knees, embraced them, looked over to George to see whether he had it just right. He pulled his hat down a little more over his eyes, the way George's hat was.
Of Mice and Men is based on Steinbeck's personal experiences in the 1920s, when he travelled through the US working as a bindle stiff, American slang for a tramp who carries their belongings in a bundle on a stick. This adds a great deal to the authenticity of his descriptions. The workers, their lives, and the places they live are presented with complete, and on occasions disturbing, reality. He does not gloss over the harsh side of life for these men, nor does he try to apologise for their views or characters. George and Lenny have the misfortune to accept work at a ranch where the owner's son, Curly, has a grudge against big, strong men. He picks a fight with Lenny, but comes off worse, which fuels his resentment. He has a wife who spends too much time drifting around the ranch talking to the men. Her position in life is signalled by the fact she has no name in the book and is always called Curly's wife. But she is drawn to Lenny despite George's attempts to protect him.
Crooks, the negro stable buck, had his bunk in the harness room, a little shed that leaned off the wall of the barn. On one side of the little room there was a square, four-paned window, and on the other, a narrow plank door leading into the barn. Crooks's bunk was a long box filled with straw on which his blankets were flung. On the wall by the window there were pegs on which hung broken harness in process of being mended, strips of new leather. And under the window itself, a little bench for leather working tools, curved knives and needles and balls of linen thread, and a small hand riveter. On pegs were also pieces of harness, a split collar with the horsehair stuffing sticking out, a broken hame, and a trace chain with its leather covering split. Crooks had his apple box over his bunk, and in it a range of medicine bottles, both for himself and for the horses. There were cans of saddle soap and a drippy can of tar with its paintbrush sticking over the edge, and scattered about the floor were a number of personal possessions, for, being alone, Crooks could leave his things about, and, being a stable buck and a cripple, he was more permanent than the other men, and he had accumulated more possessions than he could carry on his back. Crooks possessed several pairs of shoes, a pair of rubber boots, a big alarm clock, and a single-barreled shotgun. And he had books, too. A tattered dictionary and a mauled copy of the California Civil Code for 1905. There were battered magazines and a few dirty books on a special shelf over his bunk. A pair of large gold-rimmed spectacles hung from a rail on the wall above his bed. This room was swept and fairly neat, for Crooks was a proud, aloof man. He kept his distance and demanded that other people kept theirs. His body was bent over to the left by his crooked spine, and his eyes lay deep in his head, and because of their depth seemed to glitter with intensity. His lean face was lined with deep black wrinkles, and he had thin, pain-tightened lips which were lighter than his face. It was Saturday night. Through the open door that led into the barn came the sound of moving horses, of feet stirring, of teeth champing on hay, of the rattle of halter chains. In the stable buck's room, a small electric globe threw a meagre yellow light. Crooks sat on his bunk. His shirt was out of his jeans in the back. In one hand he held a bottle of liniment, and with the other he rubbed his spine. Now and then he poured a few drops of the liniment into his pink-palmed hand, and reached up under his shirt to rub again. He flexed his muscles against his back and shivered. Noiselessly, Lenny appeared in the open doorway, and stood there, looking in, his big shoulders nearly filling the opening. For a moment, Crooks did not see him. But on raising his eyes, he stiffened, and a scowl came on his face. His hand came out from under his shirt.
Lenny, who cannot resist soft or fluffy things, takes a newborn puppy from its mother to pet and fuss over, but inevitably he kills it with kindness. Knowing George will be angry with him, he tries to hide the body in one of the barns, but Curly's wife follows him. She encourages Lenny to stroke her hair, then becomes frightened when he begins to hurt. In a panic, Lenny tries to stop her cries, and then, without intending her harm, he breaks her neck. Of Mice and Men precedes Steinbeck's masterpiece, The Grapes of Wrath, but it covers much of the same ground. His characters are drawn from the American rural working class, a group of people for whom the American dream has proved to be an illusion. George and Lenny long for a tiny farm of their own, a place they can work and raise rabbits and livestock, somewhere they can call home. The impossibility of this vision is clear from the first pages, as is the certainty of the novel's conclusion. But the fact there are no surprises in the story does not detract from the book. This is one of the great classics of the 20th century and deserves its place on every bookshelf.
And we're still live here at the Book of the Month in Book Corner, and that's in Saltburn. And we've had, obviously, Jenny Finch there, the legend that is Jenny Finch. And we also have the equally legendary Rob Nichols with us. So we'll hear from you, God Self, Rob, in a few seconds. Obviously fresh from success over beating a certain team from Manchester in the FA Cup, which is always good. And we're also going to be joined by a special guest, of course, Jenna Warren, the proprietor of the fabulous Book Corner in Saltburn. If you might like to sort of possibly join us, I don't know if you've got a chair or some way in which we can actually sort of come up with that. Don't really have a studio audience today because it's probably too cold for a studio audience.
Yeah.
But you can imagine it. You can work through it. We did have a couple of studio attendees who sort of walked in, and obviously that's the reason we said it was live, and then they went away again, which is fine. That's okay. Rob, we're talking about obviously Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men here. Share with us your thoughts on this particular text.
I hadn't read any Steinbeck for many years, but as Jenny said, obviously a classic story, a fantastic writer who draws you into a situation, and a situation that you obviously knew very, very personally, and you can tell that from every page that you turn. And the incredible story of isolationism, really, isn't it, with the fact that there's two guys that travel on their own, sets them apart, but they each have, one has to look out for the other. And you can understand why it's studied in schools, because it brings up so many different issues. And it's a period piece, but also very applicable to any period, actually.
I think the resonance for me was with two particular motion pictures. One, Midnight Cowboy.
Yeah.
Obviously, a Dustin Hoffman-John Voight relationship. Mm. And also, latterly, Rain Man with Tom Cruise. Mm. And again, Dustin Hoffman. Jenna Warren, welcome to the Book of the Month, your first celebrity appearance on this side.
Thank you very much.
You are doing wonder, not only hosting us from that point, which is fabulous, but you have also read John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men. Your thoughts?
I have. Well, I hadn't read any Steinbeck at all, so this was obviously very new to me. I had no idea what to expect, really, because I really didn't know anything about Of Mice and Men at all. I mean, I just thought it was an incredibly tense story. I wasn't expecting it to have like a sort of thriller aspect to it, but I think it did. It was really sort of, I mean, the tension at times I think is actually quite unbearable, and it feels very confined as well, very atmospheric. I think it's incredibly tragic, and as Jenny was saying, I think you anticipate that from the very beginning, almost from the moment when he has the dead mouse. I just thought it was, I think the thing I liked best about it was, it's going to sound strange, but the fact that it was it's a novella, the fact that it's in that sort of short space, Steinbeck achieves so much. Covers a lot of ground, and I like the sort of slightly sort of cyclical nature of the narrative, where they start off at the pond, and then he returns, and it's the beautiful description with the water snake, like a periscope. I just thought it was extremely well written, and not at all what I expected, and quite shocking, really, and sad.
Written apparently as a play. Or indeed something for theatrical performance as much as a novel itself. And clearly Steinbeck's writing culturally where Hollywood is happening, and indeed the Curly's Wife, which I had to go back several times and thought, have I missed the name here? But no, Jenny, you're absolutely right. She never is named. You're sort of left with this notion of where she's coming from, and the notion of celebrity and so on from that. But still something which really is set 80 or so years ago in California, in an era which is supposed to be, you know, clearly full of challenges, and Steinbeck writing autobiographically about that. I mean, Rob, did you feel he kind of captured the sense of desolation? I mean, it's not really the depression as such, but it's something where you just think, you know, just to actually sort of be in that sort of system where you're having to sort of be itinerant workers and so on.
Oh, the desperation of it, where people just pass through.
I'm thinking perhaps, you know, can we see a connection with Polish immigrants in Boston and parts of Lincolnshire today, possibly?
Yeah, that's true.
That itinerant nature. Is the thing still around?
Yeah, that could well be the case. And just sleeping in their bunks. What do you do? You're just going from one job to another, 1 year to another, maybe seasonal work, I suppose, in both cases. And I suppose it's something that you, without thinking about it, without opening your brain to it, you think it's something from the past, don't you?
Well, inevitably, because
the past,
as we become more chronologically gifted, you think, but I mean, the whole notion of the Great Depression, you think, oh, it's before the Second World War. It's no relevance whatsoever to us from that point of view. I mean, Jenna, did you feel that kind of connected with you on a personal level? You said it was a tragedy, and yes, you, writing for the play again, I think Steinbeck is on record as saying he wanted to have, you know, two main characters and then two subsidiary characters, and it was, you know, it can be done on a budget, shall we say.
Yes. I mean, I think it would make... It's funny you should mention this, really, because when I was reading it, I was thinking this would make an absolutely fantastic play, a very sort of confined piece, simply because I think it would be so tense on stage, just a small number of characters in a small space. And I think particularly when... I mean, I've been, you know, a number of times to the Saltburn Drama Festival, which is an amateur drama festival with one act plays, and I found that some of those, in my opinion, that they work particularly well, are just the really sort of stripped down pieces with just a few really strong characters, and I really felt as though that it would really resonate as a player, you know, as it does as a book.
There's one quote which I thought was wonderful from Steinbeck himself, actually, which I wanted to just raise for this one, I think, for everybody to actually comment on it. And it's, in every bit of honest writing in the world, he put together a 1938 journal entry, there is a base theme. Try to understand men. If you understand each other, you will be kind to each other. Is that the essence of good writing, that empathy, Rob, do you think? If you understand each other, you will be kind to each other?
I think that's probably a message that comes across from a lot of Steinbeck's work, isn't it? And certainly from the book, and there's a certain coldness, isn't there?
Arsenal supporter, Middlesbrough supporter.
yeah. There's a certain coldness between characters because of them thrown together. And if you look at it, football, football players often say that they have no great friends in football because of their destiny. They might only be there for 6 months. They're thrown off to another club. Yeah. Even the coach I was speaking to last week was telling me that he didn't move. He was at Bolton. He didn't move to the Manchester area because he knows the nature of the job now is you only stay there, even if you're the coach, you might only stay there for a few weeks. So you probably don't build up those level of friendships because you don't know what's going to happen to you the next day.
Jenny, obviously, your choice, your selection, etc. Any regrets?
No, I read it when I was young. I read everything by Steinbeck and loved his work. I hadn't realised until I revisited it just how bleak it is and how bleak that life that you're talking about is. And I think it does resonate nowadays in that if you don't have that stability, if you can't find a place within the community and you're living hand to mouth, day by day, week by week, it's an awful life. And we condemn, nowadays, we condemn hundreds of thousands of people to that. Hundreds of thousands of people, millions all over the world, live like that. And what Steinbeck did was to show it and hold it up for the world to see and very quietly in the back whisper, shame. And I think that is fabulous.
Mm. Indeed, he won the Nobel Prize for Literature, I think, in 63.
For Grapes of Wrath.
For Grapes of Wrath. But oh, again, yes, there's an echo with respect to that in terms of the message absolutely that comes through on that basis. Jenna, any closing thoughts on the whole thing? I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I know even the New York Times says it's a thriller. I don't really see. I'm not sure whether there is a generic form for what we actually got. I could tell the suspense was actually there. And in terms of the sort of characters there, I'm not sure, though, whether I would necessarily put it into it. It's not a Mothman, shall we say.
No. but I do think that... I just thought that the suspense of it was quite an important part. It's like, as Jenny was saying, from the start that you know that it can't end well, that something really bad is going to happen, like something really tragic. And it's almost like the tension as you're like gradually move towards whatever that is and you're going to find out. And that's why, I mean, I'm not a huge thriller reader, so I mean, I may be sort of trying to categorise it where it really shouldn't be categorised, but I just
thought the Alex Hastings series is very good in terms of thrillers.
Ah, right. but yes, I just found the suspense a really sort of interesting part of it, and a part that I didn't really expect, really.
Did you identify with any other characters, or did you have sympathy with more of them? Because
I think I pretty much had sympathy with all of them to a greater or lesser extent, with the possible exception of Curly. Lenny, I felt incredibly sorry for, really sad character. I felt sorry for, I actually felt quite sorry for the wife as well, Curly's wife, because I just think that she'd gone into that marriage because she felt as though she couldn't, you know, do anything else, and she felt as though she'd like had these opportunities, or whether they really were opportunities or just dreams, we don't know. And then sort of come to that end. It's just really, really sad. So yes, I would say to a greater or lesser extent, I felt sorry for pretty much all of them. I just thought it was, you know, as Jenny was saying, very, very bleak, you know, very sort of tragic, very sort of realistic, I would imagine, in the context of the time.
And Rob, in terms of your own sort of sense of sympathy and characters and so on, as Jen actually deals with the customer, I suppose, very early. What are your thoughts on the thing?
No, the characters are all very, very believable, and it's interesting the way they interact or don't interact with each other.
I
think that's a great strength of Steinbeck, isn't it? Or the actual characterisation.
I thought actually, and maybe I'm sort of alone in this, but there were moments where you thought, in terms of the development with the dreams, the American dream, that ownership of land, was again permeating the text, that we all had that notion, whether it was Curly's wife, but specifically a land where you could look after after your own sort of property, it was yours, it was your own thing, you put that together, and that was something which was constantly being reached out for. You know, even
I suppose the parallels of what you just said today in Lincolnshire or whatever, people have only got like, what have they got? They've got like somewhere, a space to sleep. And I guess that's the dream, isn't it? That you've got to have, hold something in your head, but it seems to be getting further and further away.
I think it was Fred Gwynn, also known as Herman Munster, I think, who was Lenny in one of the incarnations.
Oh, right.
And again, an ideal line from that point of view. We might have perhaps as we'll wait to find out what Jenna's score is as we sort of begin to wrap up the Book of the Month on this particular side of things. But we are at that stage where, I mean, it seems almost it's progress. So can we, how do we actually give these? And there are a couple of listeners to Book of the Month who say, you can't sort of give scores on the door.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You're trying to quantify the unquantifiable. But that's the society in which we live. So, Rob, your score out of 10 for Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men.
10.
Right. Okay, Jenna, scores out of 10 for the actual text itself, having made a sale as well. See, multitasking as a woman, yeah. She can do that. The rest of us, well, part of the result, Jenny, clearly.
Yeah. Nine.
Yeah, I'd go 9, I think, from that point of view, Jenny.
I'd go 9.
And full 10 for yourself, Rob. Excellent.
I was thinking of Strictly.
Oh. Well, fantastic. And Jenny, up next for February's Book of the Month, we'll be maybe back in the studio, or maybe we'll be itinerant roving sort of pole. Who knows where we go?
Nowhere to lay our heads.
Go.
Well, next month's book is one of the standout novels of 2014, S.J. Watson's Before I Go to Sleep.
Jenna Warren, thank you from the Book of the Month team for hosting us today at I was going to say, it's a book corner in Saltburn. You want us to plug something that's happening in a week's time with Poet?
Yes, please, that would be great. On the 7th of February, which is next Saturday, I have Andy Willoughby coming in to do a poetry reading. He has written this book in collaboration with another Teesside poet, Bob Beegree, called Sampo Heading Further North, which is inspired by Finnish mythology, and also has like links with the Teesside landscape as well. It's at 12 o'clock in here at Book Corner on the 7th of February, and it would be lovely if you could come and listen, because it'll be some fantastic poetry. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Great bloke, is Andy.
And who knows, we might return with Book of the Month in the near future to Book Corner in Saltburn.
Thank
if
you
that's
very
okay
much.
With you, Jenna.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for coming today.
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott
and Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting.podbean.com.